Good morning. I'm very emotional now, I'm sorry. I've had the opportunity a couple times to speak, both preach the word and also to share parts of my story with you all. So parts of this you may be hearing for a second time, so I'm sorry. But I'm very grateful that I get the opportunity to share more about my story and certain parts that led to my calling. And a lot of those, and a lot of details of that I haven't shared with you, so I'm very, very grateful to have this opportunity to do so. A lot of you know this, but some of you don't. One of the most important things about my story is that I didn't grow up in church. I'm the only person in my family that is practicing their faith. We have some different denominational backgrounds in my family, but I'm the only person that practices their religion. So to me, that means that my faith has always been my own, and that has been something I've always treasured a lot. Some people say, you know, I'm so sorry your family's not religious. Well, I'm not, because that means this has been my decision this whole time, and it will continue to be that, and that my family is just beside me. And just because they're not present doesn't mean that they're not here. And I didn't, because, you know, I don't come from a Christian background. I had never set foot into a church until I was 14, and the first time I ever did so was in this building, and I walked in to New Hope Baptist Church in December of 2007 to attend a youth lock-in, which is where you stay up all night. So it was a lot for the very first thing I ever did in a church. It was a lot. But it was, I just remember thinking, I just can't believe that this is a thing that people do, that people my age come to a church building and stay up all night to be with each other and to play games. Who knew? I didn't. So I just remember thinking, like, this person doesn't even know me, and they want to be my partner for this game. I just remember thinking how odd that was, and at least odd for me, and that they all just, this was the norm for them. And so I did come back after that. I started coming regularly with a friend who had invited me to the lock-in. Her dad was a very active member of the church, so they would take me on Sunday mornings and sometimes Wednesdays after school and things like that. And so I was kind of getting more involved as they realized that I liked it, which I'm very grateful for and will always be grateful for. I spent that whole year between, I guess the half year, till the next summer in 2008, being loved by a church and being cared for by a church that I was a complete stranger to. They didn't know who my parents were. They didn't know I was the granddaughter of this person. They just knew me. I was Lizzie at the time. That's who I was. And no one cared. And they didn't care that my family wasn't here. They cared that I was there. And I, looking back now and seeing that was exponential for the rest of my life and the rest of my faith journey. And so the next summer, that same friend said, hey, we go on a mission trip every summer, you should come. And so I was like, I don't really know what that is, but let's go. So we spent a week of our life in Kentucky. And I remember thinking again at that point, there's something to this that I'm apparently missing. Because once again, a bunch of youth my age, not only giving up an entire night, they're giving up an entire week of their life to serve this God and to serve this person, Jesus, who I didn't know anything about at that point. I had heard bits and pieces from Sunday sermons and Wednesday night Bible studies, but I was still learning. I wanted that click. I wanted to know what everyone else around me seemed to know. And it was one of the best times. I still remember some of the projects we did and some of the people that went on that trip, and I still talk to some of them to this day, and that's been over 10 years now. So I spent that next year kind of, you know, being more involved in church, but really being present, and not just going because my new friends went and because I was making friends, which was a good bonus, but going because I felt like I needed to be there for some reason. And so the next summer, we went on mission again because I loved it so much, and we went to Lenoir, North Carolina. And I had spent the year being nurtured by the church again and being cared for as still very much a stranger because I wasn't a member of the church yet. And so I went into that trip with that on my heart, and I see that now. And it was the last night of the mission trip, and Brian opened the floor. During this time, he's going to pray us out at the end of the devotion. And he said, if there's a decision you need to make or something's on your heart, just look up at me while everyone else's eyes are closed, and we can talk afterwards. And so he starts praying. I'm sitting there, and then I look up, and then I panic because I've looked up, and I don't know why. But then as he kept praying, and the way that it was very heartfelt, the words that he was saying and praying for us, a group of people that he cared for, I knew in that moment, like, this is, I want to be a part of this. I want to be a part of this family and in extension, the church family. So I went up to Brian afterwards and said, you know what, this is it. Like, I want to do this. I want to be baptized, and I want to be a part of this church. And shortly, a few months later, in October of 2009, I was baptized right up there. And the years after that followed were a blur of years in high school, youth trips, dinner theaters, other mission trips. In my senior year of high school, I was here. The doors were open to the church. I was present. I had finally gotten a car that I could use on my own because my brother had gone off to college. And so Sunday afternoons, Sunday evenings, I was here the whole time. Dinner theater, always at rehearsal, always there, the extension. I was basically just here as long as I could be. And I went to college after that, and I went to UNC Greensboro. And while I don't regret any of my time there, I won't pretend like it wasn't very hard. The first 2 years, I just sort of was very stagnant with my faith. I didn't try hard enough to find a church that I felt I belonged to. I think that's always because I just really like being here. And I didn't find a group on campus that sort of fit what I needed and that loved me for all of me and not just who they wanted me to be. And that was just hard. I just personally couldn't do that. So I was in this weird limbo. And I knew that in the back of my mind. And at the end of my sophomore year at UNCG, I had a really traumatic experience. I lived through a trauma that to this day still affects me very strongly. And so I was going into that summer with a really, really, really heavy heart that I didn't even know I had at the time, but just because of the whole situation. And it was the summer of 2014 when we went to Asheville, which is what Victoria just talked about. Ironic how this all just comes together. I had applied to be the student.church intern through CBF. And I did so because I wanted assistance to help me go on mission to Honduras, which is something I had wanted to do since I was 16. And so I was really looking forward to that. Didn't expect much more out of the summer than I would get to work with the church and do things I had never done before. I loved church, so it seemed like a great fit. What I realize now is that I needed that summer, and that summer it saved my life. And so I'm going into this summer with a really heavy heart, and our first mission trip was to Asheville. And so I was going to be a chaperone for the first time, a little nerve-wracking, but worth it. And it just seemed so odd. I was going to be a chaperone for youth trips, and I was going to be the intern. Like, I was going to work at the church, and just couldn't believe that that's where I was at, and I was very thankful for that opportunity and grew to love it more and more. And I remember that trip to Asheville even now, that it was just a really good group of people that we had, both youth and chaperones and ministers and the people that we were working with. And I'm sure anyone that went on that trip could attest to that easily. It was what I needed. I needed that community very badly. And so it was the last night of the week. And Brian gets up there and says, if anyone has a decision to make or has something on their heart, make eye contact with me during the prayer while everyone's eyes are closed, and we can talk. And so I sat there and started getting really emotional and started crying. Well, I cry a lot, but crying even more so. And Brian is praying, and he's praying, and he's praying some more. Y'all, Brian doesn't normally pray that long, so and he says he doesn't remember doing this, but I remember doing that. And so I just instinctively looked up at him, just bawling my eyes out, and he just nods and continues on and then wraps up the prayer just like that. And so I stayed in the room to talk to Brian, obviously, and realized very quickly that I was not the only person that had looked up at him. Me and about 7 or 8 other youth had done the same thing. And so while my decision to follow Christ came very quickly to me, at least in the second, this was pretty quick, but I sat there and was like, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just, you know, I'm obviously here to support. That's what I'm here for. And then I'm listening to around five, youth give their life to Christ for the first time, and for a few of them, like Victoria, to rededicate their lives to Christ. And so I'm sitting there next to a youth that at this point I did not know very well. We were sort of in youth together, but he was very young, and he's sitting next to me, and he's crying with how much this decision that he's making for the first time is impacting his life, and how important it was to him. And he was not—he's not a crier. And I, as soon as he was talking, this is it. And then it was my turn. I went last because I had no idea what I was doing. And so I looked up and just told everyone in that room, this is what I want to do. I want to be that person that is present with someone when they find Christ. I want to be that person that teaches others about Jesus and who Jesus is to me, because that's how I got here, by hearing those stories. And I realized that I wanted to go into ministry, which was a big plot twist. I spent the rest of the summer and the rest of my undergrad degree struggling with my calling. It was the best and worst thing that had ever happened to me, still to this day. I was excited to know that there was something that God was putting me in place for, but I was also scared because I didn't know what that meant. I was going to have to go to get another degree, which means more school, and I would have to somehow pay for that school, and I would have to tell my parents that my marketing degree was no longer the plan. So I finished my degree, because you still need a degree to go into a master's program. My senior year, last semester at UNCG, I just realized if God was calling me to do this magnificent thing, then God was going to get me through it. And it was my turn to step up, because God had already done that for me. And so God was waiting for me to do that. And so I applied to Divinity School very late in the game, but I did it. I asked someone I knew for advice for how I could pay for it, how I could do it. And then I told my parents very quickly, and then I ran away. But they're fine with it. It was the scariest 6 months of my life, up until 2 weeks before Divinity School, when I still didn't know how I was going to pay for it. And yet here I am, in my third year of Divinity School, with enough grants and scholarships to pay for all of my schooling, and a family that seeks to know how my schooling and ministry is going. I never would have thought I'd be at this point. Divinity School is the hardest thing that I've ever done, ever. And I'm sure it won't be for the rest of my life. I'm sure other hard things will come, but it is hard. But I have my church family who supports me in doing that. And I can't imagine not having that. Being in a place that's so scary but so great sometimes, and knowing that if I go home and go to church on Sunday, someone will notice that I've come back after a few weeks, and they'll ask me how I'm doing. So I invite you to celebrate with me about this amazing thing that's happening at New Hope. Y'all, it's a big deal to have one person, but it's an even bigger deal to have 4 people that are members of this church, and for the rest of them that have grown up in this church, are feeling called to ministry, are seeking that call because they know that you support them. I also challenge you to take care of these members of your church family. When you see them, those rare Sundays when they can get home, ask them how they're doing and wait to listen for their answer. Do more than just ask them how school is going. Ask them how you can pray for them, and then pray. Tell them you're rooting for them, because listening to God is hard. And learning ministry is hard. And being faithful to a calling during the world that we live in and the daily struggles that we face is hard. Offer your help when you can offer it. It means the world to us to know that we are loved and prayed for by members of this church. So celebrate with us in doing that. I thank you for everything that you've done for me and already seeing for everything that you've done for these other three wonderful people. I hope that you continue to take this seriously, what's happening here at New Hope. Ask us how it's going. Ask us more about our lives. We love to talk about it because it's hard to fathom that this is even happening to some of us and that we're here doing this. And I want you all to know, and I hope that you remember, that no matter how hard it is for us and how difficult sometimes it can be and how drained we sometimes see when you ask, how's it going, that we still love that you love that we're doing this. So I'm going to invite Victoria back up now, and I'm going to open us up in a word of prayer, and she will close us out. So please.